Well, it's our privilege this morning to have with us our pastor and friend. This is Shem Akello, and Shem is a pastor in Kenya, Nairobi, and he's a pastor to pastors there. And for 5 years, Calvary Bible Church has been sending teams to Kenya, led by Judy Pitt, and we're going to go again this year. And when I say we, I mean me. I'm going to be going to Kenya this year. And so there is a team of about 20 people who are getting ready to go to Kenya on July 27th for about 2.5 weeks. And we're going to go minister with Shem in at his churches. And what a privilege it is to have him here to minister in our church all the way from Kenya this morning. He's had a great week and a half already that he's been here. Judy's been taking him around in all other places. He's been speaking from early in the morning till late at night. And among the other things for recreation, he did a ride-along with police officers, Boulder's Finest. And his first assignment was to arrest a road rage suspect in Table Mesa with a gun. Welcome to America. And yesterday he was snowboarding at Copper Mountain. So, I mean, Shem has done a lot, and it's just been great to be with him and to hear his heart and what the Lord is doing in him and in Kenya, and we're just really excited about being with you very soon. Let me read one verse of Scripture that is sort of in the flow of our study through the Gospel of John. Shem is going to speak to us this morning what the Lord has laid on his heart. But as you know, we've been in John chapter 10, and here are the words of Jesus. "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." This Jesus spoke to his disciples, referring to his necessity to reach not only Jews, but Gentiles as well. And that message of reaching all the world for Christ is still our mission today. And so whether it's here in Boulder or in Kenya, the Lord is building one church, and he is the one shepherd of his church, which he builds. And we're delighted to be partners with you, Shem. Amen. And very excited that you're here this morning to bring the Word of God to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to make sure this is on there. There you go.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to thank God for all of you. Thank God for Pastor Tom. Thank God for Judy. And a privilege to be at Calvary Bible this morning. This church is a friend of the churches in Kenya. Started knowing about Calvary Bible through Judy. And we have been partners. We have had friends, prayer warriors, prayer partners with us here. I'd like us to read from the 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and verse 14. I've had a privilege of learning two new things. And I thought, at 40 years, you don't learn much. So yesterday, I was learning how to snowboard, and I thought, Shem, what are you doing? And when I was chasing a man with a gun at a Table Mesa, and the sirens were on, and I was wondering if my mother knew what I was doing. This is, it's not good. But I realized that at 40, you can still learn several things. The Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Would you also read with me Matthew 28, verse 13? Matthew chapter 28, verse 13. When I was planning to come to America, this is the verse that was in my mind. And after Jesus had done everything, healing the sick, raising the dead, training the disciples, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age." Amen. What an assurance that Jesus is going to be with us to the very end of the age. And as I was reading the 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, I realized that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us an assignment to go and make disciples. And not only that, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we teach, Calvary Bible is known for teaching. Pastor Tom, you're doing a good job. People who are here are grounded in the Word. And the Lord is with us every day. And the Lord had seen what everybody was doing. And he knew that there was arrogance among the people of God. He knew that there was tough-headedness. People were not willing to do what the Lord wanted. And there were things happening. And he talks to them and he says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves." And the Lord is reminding us today about humility in his ministry. How humble are you to take the gospel to another person who has not heard of it? How humble are you to take the gospel to another continent, to another church, to your neighbor, to another town? It takes humility. A songwriter said, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you high." And as I was thinking of this, I thought of, as I come to America, may I ask us to humble ourselves and not only be at Calvary Bible, but to be able to minister somewhere else outside this city. Did you know you can be so comfortable here that you don't go anywhere else? Did you know that it is easy to have a great pastor who teaches you every Sunday and all you do is sit here and do good? Did you know that you can be coming here every Sunday? And that is good. But the Lord wants more from you. And that is why he is sending us. To humble ourselves and be able to go. And as we serve the Lord together with you in Kenya, we have ministries that we ask you to come and join us in doing. And you are saying, "No, but I'm not a pastor. I don't know how to preach. Oh, I cannot be a deacon." But the Lord has something for you. As he was giving the Great Commission, he did not say this is for pastors only. He did not send the deacons only. He sent all of us. Are you the one who makes coffee there? The Lord is sending you. Are you the one who cleans this floor? The Lord is sending you. Are you in the committee of the church? The Lord is sending you. And we want to welcome you in Kenya, in Uganda, in Tanzania, to minister to our people. We have ministries that go on, evangelism,
going house to house. And I have been with some of the teams, and as we walk across the ridges, especially Kisii, where Calvary team goes, the hills are so high. There are too many people who are waiting for you to come and tell them the story of Jesus. And after being here in America, I want to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, you are blessed. We are different. And I believe that the Lord has blessed you to be a blessing to somebody else. I don't believe you are blessed to be safe here, that you are blessed to be warm in here. You are blessed to go out and minister. And how great it will be to have some of you come to our country and go from heart to heart, knocking those doors and telling people about Jesus Christ. How great it will be that after doing that, because we work our teams very hard, at night you are showing the Jesus film and sharing Jesus with people even at night. How I pray that some of you will one day come and we put them in an orphanage where children have never been loved. We have children who have never been hugged, because there are so many at the orphanage. We have children who are looking for a daddy. We have children who will come and for one day enjoy being with a brother, a big brother, a younger brother, an auntie, a mom, a daddy, and teach them about Jesus Christ. How I wish that one day you would come. Some of these children have not seen toys. I was in a shop, Longmont, I think. And there are so many toys. And we were wishing, I wish this would go to Grace. I wish this would go to Auntie. I wish this would go to Anna. And I was just seeing those beautiful faces of those children and wishing that somebody will come and we give them toys so that they play with toys for the first time. I know that there are doctors here and some of your friends who are doctors, and how I wish that one day we will have doctors come to our country and treat people who, if you did not come, they will not see a doctor until one day when you come. I want to challenge us to open our hearts into the ministry. Our country is so open. When our teams go, every school is sending one. Please make sure that the team comes to my school. And we have schools with 1,000 children. And they give you about 3 hours to minister to the children and preach in our churches and distribute Bibles and speak to them about Jesus. And we are saying, dear Jesus, how we love you. I saw a basketball field in the building in here. In Kenya, they are usually outside. How I wish that some people will come and train our basketball teams and work with our students, doing clinics, helping them with new tricks, but sharing Jesus with them. But you are saying, one, Africa is very far. It is very expensive. Yes, it is. And I don't know whether I can do that. But we have come to say, if you cannot do it, send somebody. Pray for somebody to go. Assist somebody to go. Help somebody to go. As we speak, we have started 18 churches in Kenya. And we have been building those churches. And for $750, we build one church complete. And we are looking for construction people. I thank my brother All these two brothers, they were all on the roof building our churches, and we said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And we want to invite you to come and join us in building our churches. And if you cannot come, we ask you to assist one of our pastors with a bicycle, because that is one of the means of transport. And our bicycles cost $50. And you would say, Judy, you're going to Kenya, buy one pastor a bicycle. In America, it is used for exercise. In fact, I have one in my bedroom, which doesn't go anywhere. In Kenya, it will be a great blessing to the pastor. He will be carrying his wife to the church. And you may not realize, but that bicycle will be serving that man. He will be praising Jesus for it. He may not know you, because we may not tell him who you are, but he will be blessed. We have been thinking about the drought in Kenya and the hunger in Kenya, which has really hit the children. This is my second time to come to America. And sometimes I just see how much food is here. And just wishing that I wish we could carry some of this food and take them to Nyamira Orphanage or to Nairobi Orphanage or to some of the children that we live with. They will have a party. The children are going very hungry. There is no food. And that may not make sense, yes, but there is no food. And so many children are dying of malnutrition. And one day while we were in Nairobi, Judy met with a team that is coming from Lubbock, Texas. And there is a kind of food that they are making. There is a company there that makes food. They pack that packet in 1 kilogram each. It is dehydrated food. But it has rice, it has meat jerkies, it has carrots. It is balanced diet food. But that food, when cooked, can feed 50 people. And I thought, this is what the Lord needed when he was multiplying fish. And we are trying to get that food into the country of Kenya to feed the children. And how we pray that you will participate in helping us get this food in Kenya. Former President Moi has supported this project, and he would like to be part of it and to distribute food, and is trying to help with clearing it from the ports. And I know that if we succeed in doing that, that Kenya's children are not going to be hungry again. I know that some of you have gone through Young Life. I attended one of their meetings this weekend. And how I'm asking that we will have some Young Life people from Calvary to come to Kenya and introduce Young Life amongst our schools, amongst our churches. We are thinking of bigger ministries. We are thinking of doing boreholes. Because I know I am inviting doctors. But as we look sometimes at what the doctors have done, 70% of the treatments they do in Kenya are waterborne related diseases. And when we were meeting with Judy last time, we said, if we did a borehole here, we will keep the doctor away. And how we wish that people would drink clean drinking water. Our bathrooms are different. We have pit bathrooms and bush bathrooms. Bob knows. Usually the bush bathrooms are cleaner. You only watch for the snakes. But when it rains, the pit latrines are filled up and they overflow. And part of the reason why there's so many diseases is the water is not clean. And during the rainy seasons, there isn't dry firewood, so the water is not boiled properly. And if we dig a borehole for them, or shallow wells, we will have clean drinking water, not only for a church, but one borehole can serve over 1,000 homes, families. In several parts of my country, people go very far to look for water. And we have so many people dying every day. As we talk now, HIV and AIDS in Kenya is killing 610 people every day. And that is when the government and the U.S. government has really been helpful, is really doing everything they can. It used to be 800. So last month when they were giving this report, it was like, hallelujah, we are reducing to 610. 3 weeks ago, on our newspaper, the headline was, "You are lucky to be 40. And I'm looking at this church, and there are very many lucky people who are past 40. In my community in Kamanga, where our church is, I am among the oldest people. When I go to our bank, I don't queue in a line. Say, old man, come. And I love it because then all the other children do things for you. But I tell you, God has blessed you to give you over 40 years. You are blessed to be a blessing. Why has the Lord given you one more day? Your age mates passed away. Maybe he has a plan for you to humble yourself and pray and go ye therefore and make disciples. I have been in the ministry for the last 20 years and I have seen God blessing us. But I wanted to share this with you. As the Lord blesses you, you will also go through tribulations. He did not promise a smooth ride for all of us. But we will be going through a lot of tribulations too. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, when Paul had really worked, he had ministered, he had preached, and people liked him, and they thought, oh, God has come. And Paul said, no, we are not God, we are man. And him and Barabbas, these people wanted to offer sacrifice to them. They wanted to slaughter a bull for them. And Paul said, no. Later on, when Paul went back to the city, they stoned him. And in verse 22, Paul says, we must go through a lot of tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. And that verse, I have read it when after 22 years of service, of happy marriage, last year was so dark for me. I was in the plane hadn't started and my phone was still on when my mother called me that my sister, Milka, had passed away of meningitis. And meningitis takes about 4 hours and you die. And I was going to Czech Republic and I prayed and I cried and I thought, Lord, we came and buried my sister. She left 2 beautiful daughters, Grace
and my mother Doris. And I was looking at those little kids. And my mother took them. We are living with them.
Then in July, my brother-in-law died. And my sister Rhoda, she's the one following me, she was so low. She didn't know what to do. And we went to console her. And we were there consoling my sister. And she was so low. And the day of the burial, my wife died. And when I left Ruth, she was okay. We were talking on the phone every now and then. And at around midnight, she said she had a headache. I told her, honey, you go to sleep. I'll talk to you tomorrow. About 4 o'clock, my brother Jared got a phone call that Ruth was really, really ill, and we had to go to Nairobi, 300 kilometers away. We drove very fast, and the roads in Kenya are not like roads here. We say that in Kenya, when you see a rabbit on the road, don't hit it. It could be a giraffe, but it is right in a pothole. When we arrived in Nairobi, all my friends were in the hospital. And Ruth had passed away. And the doctors were struggling because for 14 years, we had no children. And the Lord had blessed us, and Ruth was pregnant on the 14th year. And we say, all things are possible. And when the doctor came to me, he said, you wait out there. We are trying to save the children. We had two. We were going to get two children. And we already had their names. And the doctor came out and said, Mr. Okello, we are sorry. We could not even save the children. And I say, Lord, what have I done? Why must I go through this tribulation? And it was so dark for me. It was so difficult. And I cried. I could not believe it. I went every now and then to check on Ruth, you are not dead. Yes, she was. And I want to thank the members of this church who have stood with me in prayer. And I want to say you have been my brothers and you have been my sisters. You have lifted me unto the Lord. And as I was reading Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for good of those who love Him. And I kept on asking God, where is the good? What is good? Those who are called according to His purpose. And I've been reading that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Amen. And when we were waiting for the children, there were ladies in this church. I wish I could tell who they were. Who made blankets for our babies. The blankets were brought to me. And I told Judy, we are going to give these blankets to some other people. But I thank God that He promises that even the temptations we are going through, we will have a way out. And He will give us the power and authority to stand up under the temptation. That's why I want to challenge you all, my brothers and my sisters. Like Isaiah said in chapter 8, when he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to be with you all. I want to thank you for being my brothers and my sisters. I want to thank you for loving me. And I want to thank you that we will continue partnering with you. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord guard you. And may the Lord be with you. Thank you.
We're going to pray for Shem, but before I pray, let me make some concluding suggestions for us as a church. The world is large, and we live in a very small corner of it, and we are comfortable. Did you hear those statistics? Did they land with you? Shem did not say that 800 people a day in Kenya die of malaria, 610 a day from HIV. Simple ways that can help preserve life there, a well, which costs $20,000. Pastors are crying for Bibles, bicycles, food. Shem told me that most days he doesn't always get two meals a day in Kenya, and many don't get any. The unemployment rate in Kenya is nearly 70%. And we're here. And we feel conspicuous this morning, don't we? By all that we have. So we can respond. We're responding by sending a team who will bring gospel and help this summer. And that it costs a great deal to send a team of 20 people. About $3,500 per person. And our team is going to be asking their friends and members of Calvary to help. And maybe this would be the day that you say, I want to help send one of those team members. Or I want to provide 5 bikes or Bibles. As the Lord leads you, I pray that you'll respond in a couple ways this morning. Number one, I couldn't help but think we need to simplify. I need to simplify my life. And in this one church that Christ is building around the world, my simplification here can help provide for others. Maybe you hear the Lord say, you could sacrifice. And most of us would say it wouldn't even be that great a sacrifice compared to what our brothers and sisters experience around the world. I say, let's be team. Let's be the church together. And I encourage you, either by today's offering or by your prayerful reflection over the weeks ahead, that you'll say, how can I help our brother Shem and his ministry in Kenya build the church there, a church in all her glory, in different cultures, but one Lord, one faith, one hope. And we can be partners together. Shem is our brother who has experienced in this past year great loss. Sister, wife, children. Stunning. We love you. We stand with you. We pray for you and are delighted to be partners in this work. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I want to encourage you to just ask the Lord to guide your own thoughts about how you could be partners in this work that we're going to do in Kenya this summer and ongoingly. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, I bless you today that we have been able to hear from our brother Shem and that he has brought a message to our hearts that we pray will land in our souls as fertile soil. We pray the words that we have heard humble yourself. and pray and go will land in our hearts and bear fruit, and that that fruit would grow up and remain and would produce a God-exalting fruit in our lifetime and for eternity, whether we can see it or not. I pray that Shem's being here this morning will catalyze our church to sacrifice, to humility, to prayerfulness, to a turning away from wickedness, to repentance, and to a following of Christ our Savior that may take us even to the ends of the world. And we pray, our Father, that today would be the day that you would be exalted here at Calvary as we respond to you in our giving, in our praying. And I pray for the church in Kenya, for all these villages in Kisii will be this summer, who today are worshiping you even as we are worshiping you here. Will you bless them? Unite us with them that we might work together to proclaim the name of Christ. And we pray for our brothers and sisters there that strength and grace and peace would be theirs in the midst of challenging life experiences. And I pray that our response today would honor them and bless them. Thank you for Shem and his work here. I pray that you'll take him safely back to Kenya. Bless his life. Encourage his heart, I pray. May the word of God continue to spread and the name of Christ be exalted here and there. We all pray together. God's people said, Amen.